Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a show dedicated to be a voice for the voiceless, where we are serving underserved communities. Today, we have a host of topics in which we would like to share a perspective and get you to participate with us later on by calling in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. We'd like for you to call in later on once you have heard a perspective on the three topics today, which will be, we will discuss the issue of the IRS and the nonprofit issue. We will talk a little bit about Trayvon Martin and the self-defense rule, as well as this recent incident dealing with police brutality in Jackson, Texas. We'd like to hear your views later on. But right now, we'd like to bring on our presenter today, his brother Emmanuel Joyner, who will be giving his perspective on some of these critical issues that are affecting our community. Welcome, Emmanuel, to Missing Pages of History.
Welcome. How you doing, Mr. Lee?
Good.
Mr. Robin, how you doing today?
Good. We'd like to have your understanding and your perspective first on this critical issue of the role of IRS as it relates to nonprofit organizations and other community organizations as it relates to the right to have, the right to be taxed. Can you give us your perspective on what's really going on when it comes to this issue that the public needs to be aware about?
Well, the IRS at the moment, they're calling it a scandal, but it's not a scandal. Basically was an audit. Red flags came up because of the population of nonprofit applications was a heavy load of those applications being filed a couple of years ago. And what had happened was that special number one, the appointment of the IRS, the commissioner, of course, was appointed by the Bush administration. That's number one. I understand exactly what's going on here. But what has happened is that Speaker Boehner says someone should go to jail. Well, he's right. You could start with Karl Rove. He should go to jail. Because he didn't want to act, you know, throw people to apply for the nonprofit tax exempt status. This is all about tax exemption. This is not about targeting people. This is happened to be these people who filed this. They were picking, they were chosen to come out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Why Cincinnati? Ohio of all the places, you know what I mean? You're going to do, why not come out of Texas somewhere else where all these things are basically coming from? The southern states. And this is happening in NAACP also because you're not doing the right thing on the application that you filed for. Missing Pages of History is a tax-exempt organization, but we're doing it right. It was very explicit. When we got our 501c3 things, we had to adhere to, and we make sure we adhere to those things. We got doing the right thing. We're not trying to create a loophole for people who donate money for us. We're not trying to create any of these loopholes. This is what's going on with the IRS. The loopholes have been created, and when they're putting in millions of bucks using taxpayers' money to do advertising for a political base or a political party. This is what this is all about. This is just an audit. Red flags came up. And for an example, if you contributed, say, $15,000 a year, but come back what I just said, that's why Romney did not want to show his tax returns. Because, again, he gave so much money to a 501c, which is a, you know, which is a church. He didn't give that money. He knew he didn't. And they would have exposed that. That's why he didn't want to show his tax returns. That's why the governor of North Carolina don't want to show his tax return because the loopholes and things they're not covered by and the line on the application and the line on the taxes. And they feel like they don't should be audited. They can audit anybody. They do an audit percentage. But just so happen you be a Tea Party member or a nonprofit, did not do what you're supposed to do. On the social atmosphere you're supposed to be doing, the social ring you're supposed to be doing, how you contribute the money. But the whole thing is to hide the money, to make sure that you get a tax write-off for writing all of this money special coming out of the guys on the Las Vegas casinos, these guys who gave all of this money, and they lost their money because they lost the election. They lost about $150 million. They wanted to write this money off. This is what this is all about. And like I said, the GOP and the people there, this Lindsey Graham and all these guys talking about a scandal, there is no scandal. This is just a audit that got red flags, some people trying to create loopholes, and people, again, want to use that money to advertise against. You might say the Democratic Party, whatever. Because, again, the onslaught of applications and what they did with the money, and they did not follow. We're going to see what they got to do is make sure they follow the guidelines of what they said they want to do. Yes, there's going to be some prosecution going on because they didn't follow the guidelines. The lady came on in front of the hearing. They're still doing hearings now. They got about five more to go, so I won't go too in-depth. I want to see how these hearings come out. And she pleaded the Fifth Amendment. She has a right to do that because, again, the red flags came up on a typical audit, basically, because the onslaught of nonprofit tax-exempt status, and this whole thing is all about taxes. This whole thing, this whole administration thing is about tax. They ran on the tax thing. Who paying the most? The 2%, is getting all the luxuries from the tax base. 33% of all the nonprofit and loopholes, everything is to rich people per se, or people who has X amount of dollars. Over $250,000, or maybe it's $400,000. This is what this is all about. It's all about advertising, how to use that money, again, for election process, and that is not what it's supposed to be. So that's what the IRS is, not a scandal. It's just basically an audit, and look who found out behind who was on the audit. It was people that belonged to the Tea Party and belonged to parties. Over 1,000 applications got filed for tax-exempt status than the IRS, which is almost an independent organization, basically. They don't report to the president. They don't.
It has nothing to do with it at all.
Zero. He paid his taxes. He showed 11 tax returns when he got elected. Romney showed a half one, not even fully completed. So that's the deal. That's what's going on with that. Now let's move to the Trayvon Martin case.
Okay.
That's going to start Monday. Everybody should tune in to that. This is a hearing, basically. Jury's got to be selected. And already the defense is poisoning the public, basically, on the internet, online, and different things, YouTube and everything else, mainly imaging Trayvon Martin. He's not the victim here. He's dead. He can't defend himself. But the defense has come on and said he has a gold tooth, that he videoed two guys beating up a homeless person. That was not true, but he got it out there. So he's trying to show basically the valid tendencies of Trayvon, which is not true again. So he's trying to paint an image paint the jury before the trial even starts. They'll put a gag order out there on him. He cannot do that anymore. None of this stuff is admissible in here at the trial. And, of course, he's going on self-defense, which we know that's untrue. So we look at the 911 message. That's basically your case right there where he followed the person. He murdered this young man with a gun. He had a gun. He weighed this guy about 70, 80 pounds, a 17-year-old teenager, unarmed, eating a bag of Skittles, going about his business to his father's house. The other guy was trailing him, basically. So these a-holes get away with this all the time. So it's all on the 911 tape. That's the blueprint. They're gonna convict him by. He should be convicted, but I don't like the manslaughter, the second degree murder charge. It's a first degree murder because he chased him, he followed him, he executed him. But that's what's going on there. Mark O'Meara is the defense attorney, and against Mr. Crump, who's the attorney for the defense. He called the attorneys for Trayvon Martin handlers. This is what they do. He called them handlers. Disrespectful. Right from the jump street. So this is where he's taking this thing. It's going to be a race card involved because a black and a white person, basically. Zimmer Adams on bond. When murders get out on bond. But like I said, all this stuff is where it's a little town called Sanford, which is equal to the same town of, I'm going to get on a second, it has the same type of racial strife as Jasper, Texas. I'm going to move from the Trayvon Martin case to Jasper, Texas. Over the week, it was a young lady that was dragged. That was basically a police brutality in the town of Jasper, Texas, which is well known. Because in 1998, the white supremacists, want to call them white supremacists, but two European men, they want to call slash white supremacists, they dragged a black man by his neck and they drug him on the back of a pickup truck for 2 miles until his head basically came off from his body. That's what Jasper, Texas is all about right there. I can sort of tell you something. So this is their image. The young lady had a $100 parking ticket and was an arrest warrant. And she hadn't paid the ticket. She was getting the money from her grandmother. So she went down to the police station and explained that to them. So she answered the warrant. She came in and they grabbed her. The video has no audio. The audio is not there. So we don't know what was said. But we saw her head getting slammed on the counter by two police officers. She didn't put up no resistance of arrest at all. A woman at that. And they knocked her down, basically, to the floor. After they got her to the floor, for what reason, nobody knows. And they start pulling on her, pulled her hair, pulling at her garments. They pulled her one of her shoes. He got tired of going, why you want to put her shoes off? He pulled her shoe, and the shoe came off, and he fell. He fell about 5 or 10 feet from her. I guess he got mad because the shoe came off, and he fell. He got up, and again, they slammed her on the floor. Then they drug her by one leg and to the jail cell. And they showed this over and over again. I was amazed at that brutality. They fired, I think his name was a Representative Scott. He was a councilman or something in Jasper, Texas. And he demanded the both police officers get fired, and both of them were fired. Other than being fired, Alderman, she has an attorney. He's filed a civil suit case against the city of Jasper. He wants the FBI and everybody else to get involved, the state troopers, the Texas Rangers to come to get involved in this, because Jasper, Texas has a history of police brutality. But that's the case that I'm really concerned about, and probably stay on top of that to see exactly what happens there, because she was feared for her life. So I have no idea what was said. She has not repeated what they said to her. But right now, the FBI is trying to get the video, told the video, and along with the audio. And the audio, I want to make sure they don't destroy any evidence. But a whistleblower came in and had taken that film and showed it to them. And that's how it got out. It happened about a month ago. So I can have a whistleblower. This is very pertinent to the case. The whistleblower, when he got the film, and again, the audio is very important. We went on to the language that was being said to this young lady while she was there being arrested.
Okay.
But I thank everybody. I want everybody to stay on top. Remember, the Trayvon Martin case starts Monday. It's going to be televised out of Sanford, Florida. And the attorneys are Mark O'Meara, and the attorney for the offense is Attorney Crump. Back then, they call them handlers. And the prosecution, I don't know the prosecution people. I have no idea who they are at the moment. But jury selection is coming. Hope they can get an impartial jury. And we hope to get a conviction. They said at least the most time he can get would be 25 years. On a second degree murder. They're taking him out of the execution because it's not first degree murder.
Okay.
But, look at the case very closely on everybody. Like I say again, and hope nothing happens. They just follow everything a little closely, see how this system works on the stand your ground law and self defense. Watch how this works. if you don't poison the jury pool from the beginning. And that's what the defense did to mock him, to take this young man, Trayvon Martin, to paint image of him of smoking marijuana and everything else. It has nothing to do with him getting shot that night or getting murdered that night. But they're going to try to bring this type of thing in to paint the jury a certain way, and also to paint Trayvon Martin a certain way. So it's going to be a pretty good fight. But again, the prevailing should be Trayvon Martin, and they should find him guilty without a doubt. Let's keep your eyes on the IRS hearing. That's going to be hearing for the next 2 or 3 weeks. The only thing that Republicans got going right now is the IRS, and they're the Tea Party people, so that's why Tea Party told them to keep it up. Don't worry about the unemployment. Don't worry about the education. Don't worry about jobs. Just keep this scandal going. They don't want to do nothing for the $172,000 they make per year. They should be able to withdraw their paychecks in Congress for doing nothing. So do nothing, Congress. All because of pigmentation of this man's skin. And again, I always said this. The slave is telling the slave owners what to do, and they can't handle it.
That's a powerful statement.
Yes.
Mr. Joyner, what we would like to do right now is to let our joint audience, let them know that our lines will now be open. We'd like to hear your views and comments on the issues that are affecting our community. Today we're discussing the IRS and the nonprofit organization issue, Trayvon Martin and upcoming case, as well as the recent incident in Jasper, Texas, dealing with police brutality. We feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. We have a caller. When we go to our caller, we'll call out the last four numbers, and the caller may speak and give his question or comments to our guest today. Caller number 8488, welcome to Missing Pages History. Your question or comment, please. Caller 8488.
This is McHale in Philadelphia. And it's good to talk to you guys again, Missing Pages of History. Interesting topics. I'm going to mention a couple of things real quick. Concerning the 501c4s, the whole scenario seems to be kind of a setup in a way. From my understanding, a 501c4 does not even have to be registered up front. So that in a sense, when all these people registered these organizations, that was a red flag in itself. To my understanding, at the end of the year, you file a 990 tax form, and it gives a synopsis of what you've done during the year. And that's what the IRS would normally deal with. To set all this up and have all these 501c4s pop up all of a sudden, I'm sure that was the red flag. And I'm also kind of wondering, but these kinds of organizations and the kind of money that's behind them, why wouldn't they know that you don't have to file these kind of forms? 501c4 is basically a community service type of organization. It's a nonprofit, but it could be a trader's organization. It could be something to preserve a particular habitat in your area. It can be just about for anything. It's just people coming together. Secondly, when it comes to Trayvon's case, and the sister who was assaulted by the police, it's not anything new. It's the same problem. Our people, the African-American people, if you want to call us that, have been divided into two groups, those who are successful and everybody else. And the label that's kind of been stuck to those who have not been successful has been that of a beast and something to be contained and controlled. I'd worked for done security, and had a 235 card. And in the training, you get some police training, and the type of personality that generally goes into the police force is someone who's ready to throw down. They're hands-on, they're ready to fight, and they enjoy it, some of these fellas. So you've got those situations where a person is already labeled to be targeted and then placed in a situation where the slightest wrong move results in a beatdown. So those are my two comments. The 501c4, I'd like to hear more about that, the actual details and how that worked, because perhaps more of our people could make use of those kind of associations and do those good works in a nonprofit way. And the same thing for the criminal beatdowns and negative labeling. It's not a new thing for our people. We've been labeled criminals, and the job of the police has traditionally been to keep us contained. And that's my comment.
Okay, we thank you, Carlo. We'd like to go back to our guest, Mr. Joyner. We have expertise in that particular area. Can you educate our public on the difference between a 501c and a C4 and why those things are without the distinctions and how they can be misused again?
Well, the call is right, a 501c4. It has a lot of tentacles to it. And they're trying to use, it's like a loophole for write-offs when you're trying to take tax exemptions for things that you're doing. Let's take a movie star, for example. Can you write off the people that make him up? Can you write off the hairdo? When they get the hair done, the clothes they wear, the shoes they wear, when they make appearances, all these things are write-offs. So they're trying to do the same thing with a 501c8 to try to make everything that you do, that the tentacles become write-off some type of way. How the money is floated in, what you can do with the money. And they're unregistered, and it don't have to be identified. But again, when you file and you put down $2 or $3 million contribution to something, to an organization that just got unregistered, and the IRS look at that, where your contributions has been maybe, $50,000 or $80,000 to charity, and all of a sudden here's come $2 or $3 million. That is a red flag. That's an audit. That's what this is all about, is about the audit. So we have to understand the hearings are still going on because everybody's trying to explain what they can do, what they cannot do, because of unregistration. See, most time you register for something, there are guidelines. So they got to go with the guidelines, what the active you're supposed to, what the active explicit, what did they do. So this is going to take a little research and everything else. So it's very difficult at the moment to, all the curiosities of this 501CH. But soon the hearing is over. We'll come back to this, and we'll see what the hearing results are. Because, again, you're fighting for a tax loophole that's really not there, but you're trying to make it there because of unregistration. So like anything else, when you don't have regulations to a certain point, then you got to regulate it. But it's been regulated because there are guidelines. Guidelines are the same thing as regulations. If you don't follow the guidelines, you didn't file the application correctly and doing what you say you're going to do to become tax-exempt status, then you're in fault. There's penalties, there's interest, and everything else involved, or they can deny your 501c, C3, or CH. They can deny you. But you got to go back and pay taxes on it. This is what they're trying to avoid. When you put millions of bucks out there and someone told you you're going to be tax exempt, we got this covered, and you take and do it. Now all of a sudden, it's hearings involved. It might not be covered. So you're trying to take on the defensive side saying this is a scandal. That's the first thing you say, it's a scandal. It's not a scandal. You got caught. So when you get caught, then here's the defense, use the word scandal. Then you get your congressmen involved. That's where they're coming from. For the Tea Party, they get their congresspeople involved. And they want them to push this scandal because they want this thing to go, they want this thing to go away. So we can't serve other things that we should be doing, like the jobs, unemployment, everything else. They get it just, 70% of the country want this to be solved. They don't want this mess. This is not better mess. Benghazi and scandals are what we're talking about. You can't bring none of this stuff back. But it's not a scandal. This is just a bona fide audit. And on the Trayvon Martin case, he spoke about that. How people are targeted to a certain degree. The have and the have nots. The criminal system has to be fed. And they feed it with our teenage boys. That's what they take and do. 44% of the people in prison percentage-wise are African Americans. Most people in prison, of course, are European Americans because of the population. But percentage-wise, we're 44%, and we're 13% of the population. That is so disproportionate. But we have to feed the system, and they feed them with us, with African-American men, basically, and young men. And this is how we are targeted, per se. that we're not a multicultural society. We're not this. We're not that. We're everything and not. Make sure we know we score low on tests. We score low on everything every time we see us. We're excelling, though. We excel in sports. We excel in music. We excel. Everything we do, we excel. And give us a chance, opportunity. We excel. We do better. That's the problem they got. They're trying to, again, take one side, the good. They take one side, the bad. And they make sure the bad outweigh the good. Because they're supposed to report 90% negative news on us at all given times. We only get 10% of good news. So we got to understand that the blueprint is made for us. We have to turn that around and report 90% negative news on the other 15-16. They've done 90% on the 1-16. We have to say, okay, this is the blueprint they done put out there. Let's go with the same blueprint. Go with the same blueprint. So we have to watch them again. We have to make sure that we report good news on our people who graduate first in their class, valedictorian. We got to talk the good stuff about our people. We got to stop promulgating all this negative news. We have to stop it. And Trayvon Martin, you're going to see what's happening. There's going to be an explosion that what's going to happen at a trial of this magnitude, because, again, you got white against black, a European against African American, and on this one is the African American teenager who is dead. A mother has lost her son through a murderer. He's nothing but a murderer. When he made this, when he did on the tape, he says, "These a-holes get away." He wanted to make sure that this one didn't get away. Now, that's what we have to say. He wanted to make, he made sure. It's that come out of his mouth. Well, if you want to, they always get away. What are you doing to make sure you don't get away? You chased him and you killed him. So that's what you did. The prosecution has to stay on it. But again, so you have to watch again the backlash and everything else. But if I was attorney for that case, I would turn this case upside down. I would expose exactly what's going on here with this case. He had a gun. He had arrest records and everything else. They want to keep this out of there. This guy was a criminal from the get-go. They had a restraining order against his wife and everything else. Let's paint his picture. But they're not painting his picture, see? Not painting his picture at all. Hope I answered them questions there. But again, okay. On the IRS, they still got further hearings. So once we finish the further hearings and explanations and everything, after the lawyers attacking the, you know, the registered part, the unregistered part, you have to register, and they are attacking the tax-exempt status, and the IRS is waiting on them to present all the stuff they're presenting. But again, this started in Cincinnati, Ohio, and what made it happen, because that's not a Tea Party state per se. We have no idea what happened there. We got to understand it. But again, it was red flags. It was audits. And again, the influx of so many applications. And again, it's just a plain old audit. It's not nothing to do with a scandal.
Okay, Emmanuel. We have less than about 2 minutes. I would like for you to make some kind of statement on how can we actually deal with and maybe prevent the kind of incidents that's taking place in terms of what just happened in Jasper, Texas.
Well, you can't prevent them. You can probably reduce, or you might say you can't hardly eradicate them, because this is what we're in. We're in a country that racial prejudice, and we're based this here, and it's based on three things. This country is built on three things: race, religion, and racism. This is when racism raises ugly head, because of race and because of religion. These are three things that complicates a democracy or a capitalist society, because you have to have the have and the have-nots. You have to have all three. All three are in this group of race, religion, and racism. People think that Catholicism or Catholics, they're supposed to be above everybody. That's religion. But they're the one that crucified Jesus Christ. They're the one hung him. So evidently, they think they're better than the Baptists. That's basically a redneck religion to a certain extent, being the Irish, whatever, that type of thing, German. You got the Presbyterian, you got all this, that's your religions, you got all this is involved. Then you got racism, and you got race.
Okay, on that note, Mr. Emmanuel Joyner, we'd like to thank you for sharing your perspectives on the issues of IRS a nonprofit organization, but and the issue in Jasper, Texas recently. We'd like to thank our viewers for watching, and we'd like to remind you to tune in on June the 22nd as we continue to fill in our pages of missing pages of history. We thank you.
Thank you.